Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's that time of year. The spring is coming and the time for planting is approaching, planting of the crops in the fields of the farmers and planting of the crops in the gardens. And it's around this time of year roughly and that we often will, many churches have a prayer for crops. And it's good. It's good to come to the Lord and ask for his blessing upon the planting, the spring planting. But why is it that we don't stop to think about these things so much anymore as we used to? And the reason is because we live in a very connected world and we don't depend so much on the cycle of the seasons to get fresh veggies and fresh fruit. We live in this remarkable situation, which is astonishing. It would be astonishing to people just a few generations ago, that in the middle of the winter, we can go into a store and buy fresh fruit and fresh vegetables because we're connected to a global network of food supply and distribution. But it is good to stop and to think about where food comes from. It comes from somewhere. Now, this afternoon, we have before us the fourth petition. The Lord Jesus places this prayer on the lips of his people. Give us this day our daily bread. And we have to stop and think, well, why? Why should we pray that? Of course, the Lord Jesus instructs us to pray that, but why? Why does he do that? Why do we need to ask God for our daily bread? Because we can just go to the store, and we can buy some. Often, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, the bread's right there on the plate in front of us. We already have it. Or, sometimes if we pray the Lord's Prayer after the meal, our daily bread is already in our stomachs. So why are we praying this prayer? The word that the Holy Spirit uses for daily bread in the petition is a very rare word. It's not often used in the Greek language, and it means something like rations or daily supplies, the need for the day, just what we need. And so what do we need? What do we really need? What do you need to survive? Well, we don't really need a lot. A little bit of food, maybe, some shelter, some clothing. The scripture tells us and teaches us that if we have food and clothing with that, we shall be content. So what is the Lord teaching us to pray here in this petition? He is teaching us dependence. He is teaching us to pray, Father, we need you. We need your provision. We need your faithfulness. We need your loving care. We need you to, as the answer here says on page 562, we need you to provide us with all our bodily needs. Now, if you look at the prayer, and you can flip back a page and see it in question answer 119, we may be tempted to think, well, we've asked the important things, the first things that should be for us. We've asked about God's name being hallowed and his kingdom coming and his will being done. And now, finally, we get to ask things for ourselves. But is that what the Lord Jesus is teaching us? No. Also, this prayer that the Lord Jesus puts on our lips is not about us in the first place. It's, first of all, about God. In him, says the scripture, we live and move and have our being. The reason Jesus teaches us to pray for daily bread is so that we can hallow the name, so that we can live and pray for the coming of the kingdom, so that we can be diligent in doing his will. That's what we're asking for. We're asking, Lord, give us what we need to do that, to pray for it, and to work for it. Ora et labora. These are the most important things in the universe. This is the very focus of the creation. This is the focus of our life. Your glory, your kingdom, your will. And so, Lord, help us with that. Give us the daily supplies that we need so that we don't just pray about these things, but that we can live them. And so we continue in the answer, provide us with all our bodily needs so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good. The Lord Jesus is teaching us in asking this petition to recognize where good things come from. And the Apostle James talks about that, the Father of lights, all good things come down from heaven, from him. So the Lord Jesus is teaching us to pray, Lord, give us our supplies, give us our daily provisions, and in so doing, give us the eyes to see where good things come from. Now, if you just sat down to a delicious meal that mom cooked up, she put together the ingredients, she made this delicious meal. We know that the meal came from mom, but we know that the ingredients came from the store, and we know that the ingredients came to the store from the fields of the farmers. And we also know, if we keep thinking and pushing back on this, we know that the farmers received their productivity from God. Because if God doesn't give rain, the fields don't grow, the animals die, there's no food for the farmers to ship to the stores, there's no food for mom to buy in the stores. We live, as many of us, I think most of us, live rather urban lives, so it's not always right in our faces. When you're a farmer, it's always in your face how much we depend on God's provision. Perhaps you've noticed in the news over the last few weeks or months that there has been great concern about a drought in Alberta. Alberta was going to have a drought this summer because we didn't have as much moisture as usual in the winter, and the government was working hard to try to mitigate what was thought to be coming. And now suddenly God has poured all kinds of moisture onto the province, and there's been huge amounts of snow in some parts of the province, and suddenly things have changed. If there's no rain, there's no food. But when God sends rain and he puts moisture on the ground, then there's abundance. And so what this petition is teaching us to recognize is that all things come from the hand of the Father. We need to stop and think about that. That all good gifts come from the Father of lights. And so what we're asking in this petition, we're asking you, Lord, you give us this day our daily bread. We know that you use people. We know that you use intermediaries. We know that you use all different kinds of means to bring us our daily sustenance. But we recognize, Lord, that those means are just that. They're just means. And those means mean nothing without your goodness, without your gracious giving, and without your blessing. And that's how the Catechism continues, that our care and labor and also your gifts cannot do us any good without your blessing. You know, we sit down for a meal and we've been working hard and we've received our paycheck and we've bought the food. And so we can say in one way, Lord, thank you that you've blessed my work so that we can have this food on the table. But you know, I can work 24/7, but unless God blesses my work, my plate will stay empty. What does the Bible say? Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. We can work and work 24/7. It is in vain that you rise up early and go to late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Or we could translate, he gives it to his beloved while they sleep. We can work and work and work, but unless God blesses, we will have nothing to show for it. And so this need for God's blessing applies to our hard work, but it also applies to gifts from God. Gifts that come without any work at all on our part. He just pours them out from heaven. Think of the manna in the wilderness. It was a gift from God. The people had just to walk outside and scoop it up and start cooking it up. It was that easy. But even that gift meant nothing and was of no use without God's blessing. You remember what happened when some of the people tried to save some for tomorrow. They didn't listen to God's command. He says, I'm giving you your daily bread, your provisions for the day. Eat what you need. Don't save any till tomorrow. Some people thought, well, I'm not quite sure if God's going to come through tomorrow. I need to plan my life and make sure I have some stuff as a backup. They kept it overnight. It became useless. It rotted. It was revolting. It was full of worms and it stank. And God was teaching his people a lesson. You need to live in dependence on me, on my goodness, my love, my care, my provision, not on you and your intelligence and the work of your arms. It's important that we understand this need for God's blessing, both on our labor and on the gifts that he gives. Because that drives us to prayer, that we ask for blessing on these things. We sometimes assume that all the things we have in our lives represent God's blessing, that he is hearing our prayer. And the more things we have, we may be tempted to think that the more blessing we have. That's not true. If we gather things apart from God's blessing, they cannot do us any good. What does the Bible say about things, gifts, or the fruit of labor and care, which are without the blessing of God? What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says this, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The Bible's not saying that about other people. He's saying that about me. He's saying that about you. Because we're all very rich. And how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven if we're connected to and dependent on those things for our happiness. Think of the parable of the sower, where the Lord Jesus describes that seed which fell among the thorns, and the cares of this world sprang up and choked the seed of the word. Sometimes having lots of things compared to, especially to the third world and other parts of the planet, which are very, very much poorer than we are. Sometimes having lots of things is dangerous, and that's not a blessing at all. So we're recognizing that we need God to provide, that he is the only fountain of good, and that we need his blessing on the things that he provides and that we receive. The petition begins with the words, give us, you, Lord, you give it, and give me a heart which accepts what you give. This is important. What are we asking for? Not a long list, not a long bucket list of all kinds of things, all kinds of would likes. We're asking for daily bread. We're asking for daily provision. We're asking not for what we lust after, but for what we need. And what we're doing in this petition then is we're asking the Lord, Lord, teach me total dependence. Everything comes from you. Everything needs your blessing. And I depend on you. Not my strength, not my intellect, not my smarts, not my wise decisions, not my list of wants. Lord, I just want to live a simple life of simple dependence on you. I need you to take care of me. And so that connects with the last part of the answer, because that's the opposite of idolatry. It's the opposite of trusting in ourselves or in anything else to make us happy and to take care of us. Grant, therefore, the church confesses, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in you. Trusting in creatures is idolatry. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul says covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness is worshiping another god. Covetousness is saying, I don't have this, I want it. I need it. God, why don't I have it? I need, and it's often just a little more money. Does that sound familiar? Just if I just had a little more money, my life would be so much easier. Isn't that a very natural thing for us sinful, fallen human beings to say? If I just had this, I'll be happy. If my life, if my house was just different in this way, or if I had a house in a different place, or if it had more rooms, or if I had a different vehicle. That's idolatry, says the scripture. I don't have what I want. And if I had that thing, that would make me happy. And what we're seeing then is I depend on that thing. I depend on that thing. It is my God. It will fulfill my life. It will make me satisfied in a way that God just isn't doing right now because he's not listening. And this prayer that the Lord puts on our lips is an anti-idolatrous prayer. It's saying, Lord, I don't want to covet. I don't want to sit there saying, this is what I'm missing. This is what I'm missing. This is what you have to change. Just give me what you think is good. Because you love me. You're my Father. And what you think is good is good. What you think is good is a lot better than what I think is good. So, Lord, you do it. You give it. Give me this day my daily bread. I don't want to trust in my work. I don't want to trust in my list of desires. I don't want to trust in my investments. I don't want to trust in my assets. I don't want to trust in all those get-rich-quick schemes that are out there. I don't want to trust in a lottery ticket or in gambling at the casino. I don't want to trust in the God, the idol of covetousness. I want to be satisfied with you. I want to be satisfied with what you determine I need. And all I need, Lord, is the basics. That's all I need. I need enough just to live and to worship. Food, shelter, clothing. But you know what, God? I can even do without food. We can go without food for a long time. I can even do without shelter if that's what you ordain. What I really need, Lord, is you. What I really need is the bread from heaven. What I really need is Jesus. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. He and he alone will satisfy me. That's the context, brothers and sisters, in which we ask for daily provision. But first of all, we just need him, which is why Christians, they take care not just to put three square meals on the table every day, but they take care to spend time in the Word, in that bread from heaven as they feast upon it, as they study and meditate and read the Scripture. And so this prayer says, God, you're my Father. You love me so much, you sent your own Son to die for me. You know what my needs are. And I'm not going to put making more money or collecting more things as the primary request here. But what I'm going to do is what the Lord Jesus told me to do in Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to seek your kingdom. I'm going to seek your righteousness. That's what I'm going to strive after, because I know, Lord, that all these things will be added unto me, that you will provide exactly what you know that I need. And so that's the prayer that the Lord Jesus puts in our lips. And when we pray it, how does God answer it? Well, God answers this prayer in different ways. Sometimes he answers this prayer by taking a bucket and pouring and pouring and pouring more and more and more. I remember speaking once with a Christian businessman, and he was sharing with me how difficult it was. He says, you know, I come to the end of the year and I have an extra $100,000 again. I don't know what, so I buy another company or I invest it in this, and then the next year I have more money left over. And I'm nodding, thinking, I can feel your pain. Some people, that's what God decides, how he decides to answer the prayer. He pours out all kinds of material blessing. He gives them the gift of liberality. And so we have our daily needs, but then we have so much more. Like Joseph in Egypt, so we can store it up for a time of need, and we can take care of our dependents and the needy around us in times of need. And then when God does that, we say, well, thank you, Lord. Guard my heart from idolatry. Guard my heart from the love of riches. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit to exercise the gift of generosity and of liberality. Sometimes God answers this prayer by giving very little. We pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And the Lord puts some of his children in a concentration camp where they're on the starvation diet. They're having water and crusts of bread. And the Lord says, my child, this is what I have ordained for you. These are your daily provisions. This is what you need right now to worship me, to advance my kingdom, and to do my will. And the believer in the concentration camp, and you read books like The Hiding Place and Theater in Dachau and other books like that, and you realize that God's people receive his sovereign provision and worship him with it. Sometimes and often, usually, God answers this prayer through our diligence, our hard work, and he rewards it. He crowns it with his blessing. It's a beautiful thing. We can enjoy the fruits of our labor. We can praise God for it. We can share it with those who are in need. And sometimes God answers this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, by taking away. Takes away our job. Takes away our career. Takes away our health. He takes away our freedom. So that we can't provide for ourselves with our assets or investments, because we have none. We can't work to provide for ourselves. All we can do is reach out for help. And in those cases, God shows us his love and provision and care. He shows us the love of the Lord Jesus Christ as neighbors, family members, and as the church come alongside. As the deacons come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and give support to help meet our daily needs. We don't get to choose, brothers and sisters. That's a good thing. We're asking God, you choose. Lord, you give us. And God reserves the right to answer that prayer however he wants. And that might mean that he answers that prayer in your life or in my life by making us more dependent on God's people and on the support of others. That is his answer, his gracious answer to this prayer. God decides. And so what we pray is, Lord, please give me the heart and the mind that more than anything else simply desires to embrace your providence and your provision. Let me not just tolerate your decision, not just be okay with it. Let me not just bite my tongue and try not to complain, but let me rejoice, O God. Let me rejoice in your provision. Let me trust that you are good. Let me trust and believe that you bless. Let me trust and believe and know that you give exactly what is needed. That's what I'm asking for, and that's how you're responding. Brother and sister, do you dare pray this prayer? It is the prayer of a Christian. Only a Christian can pray this prayer. It is the prayer that the Lord Jesus taught us to pray. It is a prayer of giving up. It is a prayer of total dependence. It is a prayer of saying, Lord, you decide. You give. I acknowledge that I do not run my own life. I acknowledge that it's not about my plan. I acknowledge that I might make my plans, but you direct my way, you direct my steps, and you provide what you judge that I need to live according to your will, to serve the furtherance of your kingdom, and the glory of your holy name. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Lord, let me live in total absolute dependence upon you. Amen.